Duncan.
Richard.
Happy New Year, Dunk. I know you care so much that it's a new year.
New year, new me.
Yeah, new year, new you. What colour's your hair going to be this year?
12 days in. What colour's my hair?
Yeah. What colour's your hair going to be this year?
Oh, mate, I am toying with the idea of dyeing it. But I've got a wedding in 5.5 months' time.
Yep.
And I don't know whether I should dye it now and then grow it out so that it's natural by the wedding.
But I get you.
It's one of those things, mate. You go to a wedding and there's lots of pictures and that sort of...
That's true.
That hair colour would be forever memorable. A bit like people who turn up at weddings and suddenly have a moustache. And then 20 years later, they don't. Everyone looks back and goes, is that... Oh my God, why did he have that?
Yeah,
so, yeah. I'm in two minds, but I'm doing well, mate. How has your year been thus far?
It's been all right. It's been all right. Return to work, having a phased return, enjoying it. It's lovely being back. Yeah, it's been good. I started the year quite well. Hopefully it continues. But I'm excited to do this podcast. Oh, by the way, Dunk, I'm just going to do a plug quickly. I started my podcast Fascinated by Ghosts. I've re-kind of booted it as such. And I just done an episode today with my lovely friend Nina from South Africa. And it was a lot of fun. So, if you know, feel free to listen to it, guys. Fascinated by Ghosts. It's good. It's good stuff. It's about, obviously, ghost stories and paranormal shit. All the shit that Duncan hates... I'm trying to save it.
What are you on about? I love it.
I'm trying to save it for Nina. And the same for all the shit that Joe hates. I'm saving it all for Nina now because Nina loves it like me. So it's fine. It's fine. All right.
I go through phases, mate. I go through phases.
Well, I'm excited for this. I'm really excited for this. So we're going to geek out today, Dunk, okay?
Okay.
We're going full geek mode. So we're going to kick off with a very, I would say an easy one, but we've got 20 minutes, which isn't a lot of time to try and do this. So I want to know your and my five favourite films of 2023.
That we watched in 2023? Okay.
I think ideally it should be released in 2023, but if it was released in 2022, I'll allow it.
What?
Yeah, I will.
What? Oh, okay. So you're pigeonholing me.
I am. Who's starting, me or you, bruv?
You start. I'm gonna tweak my list.
Okay, my number five was probably one of the last movies I watched in the year, and it's called Sick. It's made by I've forgotten the dude's name, but he's the guy who made who wrote Scream. Kevin Williamson, I'm thinking. I think he was a writer on Dawson's Creek as well back in the day. But he wrote Sick during the pandemic, and it's a very nostalgic horror where it really reminds you of 90s, but it's been very modernized where it's like, it's got that same thing of a slasher of Scream and a mystery of who the killers are and why they're doing it. But it's during COVID, which is a really strange time to set it. And these two friends go off to a cabin and another friend joins them. There's three people in a cabin during the lockdown. And, some masked person starts fucking things up and slashing people. And the reason for it is really cool. Like, it's really related to that COVID time and the paranoia and stuff. So it's quite a ride. I found it very enjoyable. Just because, one, it reminded me of that whole crazy COVID time. Two, it was different. And obviously, it was still nostalgic and had, like, elements of 90s horror. But then it was modernized, and it was it's just a movie that I haven't seen before done. So yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
Nice. That's a strong start, mate. A strong start.
What's your number five, Dunk? I'm intrigued.
Okay. My number five, I'm going with a cloned Tyrone.
A cloned Tyrone. Okay, tell me more.
They cloned Tyrone, which was a film that just sort of happened. I didn't know anything about it. It just appeared on Netflix one day. It's got the wonderful John Boyega and Jamie Foxx.
Okay.
And they're kind of, it's a pulpy sci-fi mystery caper where they investigate, essentially Jamie Foxx and John Boyega and one other, Yo-Yo is the character's name. But they're in the hood, mate. They're in the hood. It's a hood film.
Yeah.
But there's some weird goings on. There's sort of eerie events that start with a feel of like gang violence and gang culture, yeah. But then it starts to transpire that they cloned Tyrone. They cloned John Boyega's character, and it becomes very sci-fi.
Ooh.
Lots of opening of hidden doors with fridges to go down into basements where they've got cloning facilities and stuff. So it was a bit of a head fuck, but it was a film. It is a bit, yeah, it's a dark comedy, and it is satirical.
It sounds interesting.
But it was a very interesting film, and it's got a wonderful soundtrack, and yeah, there's moments in it which is just great. But it turns out it's the chicken that done it, mate. So spoilers.
Okay.
What's your number four, mate?
Number four, I'm cheating a bit because this movie came out the year before Dunk, I apologise. It is Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. Now, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin was like their reboot version of Paranormal Activity that came out last Halloween type of time, and it came out on like one of the network kind of things, and it wasn't at the cinemas, I don't think. It didn't get much publicity, and a lot of people didn't like it, and because it's not related to the other Paranormal Activity movies as such, it's kind of a standalone horror movie. But it was actually, for me, a really enjoyable movie. I've seen it twice now, and the second time I loved it even more. It's a found footage movie, and it's about this girl who is looking for her real parents, or her real mother, and she finds out that she is a part of like an Amish type of community. So she goes to visit this Amish community with the camera to film this kind of documentary about meeting her mum again, and kind of some very strange things are happening in this Amish community. I think it's really well done, and I think it's a massively underrated horror movie. And for found footage, there's not really many good found footage movies, but I really enjoyed this one. And again, like, it's not like the other Paranormal. It's not about ghosts. Not about ghosts. It's very different. Really interesting.
Would, as someone who hasn't seen Paranormal Activity, I know, I'm sorry, Rich, I'm sorry, Nina. Would that be a good jumping off point for someone to enter into the that particular intellectual property?
I would say watch it as a completely standalone movie. Don't connect it to the others at all, and you could just watch it as one horror movie itself, and it's an enjoyable watch, I feel.
And then, like Die Hard, I can turn around to you and say, mate, I have seen a Paranormal Activity movie.
You have. That's it. That's how it would work.
That is how it would work. My number four, I'm going for a relatively little known, again, it's another sci-fi-ish film, a film called Vespa.
Vespa. Every name you're saying, I'm having to IMDb because I've not heard of them. So I'm going to look that one up too. Go on, you talk, Duncan.
So Vespa, again, I think it just appeared on my Amazon Prime, or it might have been on Netflix at the time. I was just looking for something new to watch, and it was recommended. But essentially, the world's gone to shit, and everyone's struggling. Yeah, there's a bit, almost like a futuristic apocalypse going on, and they're struggling for fertility and kids and everything else. But it's all about this 13-year-old sort of struggle to get through her sort of day-to-day life, if you will. But it's got the wonderful Eddie Marsden in it, who is a very, very fine actor. Always finds himself playing bad guys, and in this film he finds himself doing exactly that. You want to hate him, but at the same time I think he's fantastic. Yeah, it was a really odd way to spend 2 hours, but it was a very enjoyable film, and that's why I'm putting that at number four for films from the year.
Dunk, when you watch a movie, is there like, do you do it on certain days or certain, like, for me, I tend to like to watch a movie at night. I I always find I enjoy a movie more if I watch it at night. I don't know why. I just seem to enjoy it more if I watch it at night. And like Friday, Saturday night are kind of like my go-to nights where I'm kind of in the mood to watch a movie.
I think because I've got such a broken schedule, I don't really have like a focused day, but I do find myself watching films, again, nighttime. I think watching films in the day is a bit of a weird one. If it's daylight outside, I'm normally doing something else. See, I don't generally like to sit still and watch.
Joe used to do, like growing up as a kid and I go over to Joe's and we've watched like TV or a movie, Joe would always close the curtains during the day to watch something, which I used to find really strange, but Joe always did it. And now as an adult, he's pretty similar as like, he wants the lights off. When he's watching a movie, he wants the lights off. He wants nothing. He doesn't want his phone. He wants no distraction. He just wants to zoom in and get... And I respect that so much because all the filmmakers that make movies, that's what they want you to do. But obviously in this distraction kind of modern world, I struggle with that. But Joe is fantastic at that. Like, he really gets into it. It's quite clever.
It's the sign of a good film, I think. One where you don't feel the impulse to pick up your phone and doom scroll while it's on in the background.
All right, number three. Number three, I am going to go with, and you're going to hate me for this, but I don't care, Dunk. My third favourite movie, even though it bombed, is Flash.
The disgraced Ezra Miller film.
The podcast that will never be released.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that we said has been proven to be true. So, you know.
I take away Ezra Miller, and I know that's very hard to do. I understand that.
Is your overwhelming selling point the fact that Michael Keaton's in it?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed the humour of the movie. I actually think Flash and humour work quite well. Even though, you know, he might not be my favourite person in real life, his portrayal of the Flash character I actually really enjoy. I thought it was really well done. It was a quick... Like, the movie went really fast for me. And the way they connected other actors from other DC universes into it was really clever and really, really fun. Like, there's a great reveal right at the end that I don't want to spoil, but that was awesome to have that little cameo appearance. And then, yeah, there's just so many other... it was a nice way... The Flash should have been the last movie that DC released in this current, you know, world that it has. Instead of...
But Aquaman was it... 2, it's the first it of... Been. Is it the first of James Gunn's?
No. No, it's not.
DC Universe, or is it?
No, it's just the end of... is there with it, but Aquaman 2 is the last one that they've released. But also, the Supergirl that they had in this one was awesome. She was really cool. And I was like, oh my God, we've got a really great female superhero character. Can't wait to see what more they do with her. And obviously, they're not going to do anything more with her. But she now, she was fantastic. She was really, really good. I'm so bored of Superman. And this Supergirl character wasn't your blonde-haired Supergirl that we kind of grew up knowing. She's a way cooler Supergirl that for this modern generation fits in perfectly.
I saw pictures of her in her costume and it did look very, very good.
It was good. She was good and she wasn't in it enough for me. But, you know, it was a really enjoyable film and I really liked it. I just ended up being like, you know what? I like this movie. I like it. It's fun.
I just can't do it. I can't support Ezra Miller and in the same way I can't support Aquaman and Amber Heard. Because the fact that she's in it is just insane.
All right, number three, Dunk.
Number three for me, I'm going with... it's a close call. No, I'm going to go with this. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, wow, okay. I've seen that one.
Yeah, I think the Spider-Verse films are just fantastic. In terms of like representations of what Spider-Man should be moving forwards and what they are now.
Sure.
It's amazing to think that the only reason that Miles Morales exists is because of Donald Glover.
Yeah.
And the fact that he gets a little cameo in the film was a very, very nice touch. But it was just a really, really... I'm not going to say it's a fun film because it doesn't end on a fun note.
No, not at all.
But it builds up to a very, very good future film.
So that's why I didn't enjoy it, because of the way it ended and the fact that you got to wait till about 2025 to see how it that ends. You. Yeah, it's I hate movies like that. You know, TV shows do it, fair enough, but movies shouldn't do that. It annoys me. That movie needs to have some kind of ending, and it didn't have any ending. Yeah, it's like I would say the two movies together will be one movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I'm not going to counter that argument. I think it does make sense. And moving forwards, when the next film does come out, I will try to watch Across the Spider-Verse as soon to watching the next film as a result.
Because that's a good obviously idea, yeah.
I want to watch it mentally almost as like a continuous thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of like animation style, the voice cast that they've got is from the first film was pretty good,
yeah.
But this was just incredible. The diversity in the range of Spider-Men that were in there as well was just top tier. Really, really enjoyable film.
Agreed. Number two now. So the runner-up as such for the best movie of 2023. Mine is a really, again, a movie that was really low-key. Not many people knew about it. It came out at the kind of a time where Barbie and Oprah, whatever that movie's called, came out.
Barbieheimer.
That's it. When those came out. So it was kind of the wrong timing for it coming out. Seth Rogen actually has something to do with the production of it. It is a horror movie, believe it or not. And it's called Cobweb. And me and Joe watched it. And I think Joe will agree that it was one of the best horrors he's seen in a long time. It was so unexpected. The storyline was a great mystery. You didn't know where it was going. It had a great cast. It was really well casted. The two kind of parents were pretty creepy. It's almost like I can't say anything about the movie because just by talking about it, I'll ruin it. So I don't want to say anything. I just want to say that it's a really well casted movie. It's really well written. The twists and turns of it are really fun, really engaging horror. And again, something that I haven't seen. That kind of is what does it for me now, is when I see something that's a bit of a fresh take on a genre of a movie.
I'm looking at the cast. The fact that Anthony stars in it immediately is a sign that it's going to be something pretty good.
Yeah, and he's awesome.
I've not seen anything that Anthony stars in that's, you know, nothing but exceptional. So, is Luke Busey, is that Gary Busey's son?
I'm going to guess so, but I have no idea. Are you ready?
I don't know.
Are you ready for your runner-up, Dunk? What's your
runner-up? Am I ready for my runner-up? Now, my runner-up is one of two films that I saw in the cinema.
Okay.
In 2023.
Okay.
Which means that you were there.
Oh, yeah.
My runner-up is
This was nearly
Guardians.
My number three. This was nearly my number three. Go on, Dunk.
This is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Or as I like to refer to it, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Tale of Rocket the Raccoon.
It was
and the many horrors of cosmetic testing.
Yeah.
It was just an emotional film.
It was. Very.
I ended up kind of holding back the tears because I didn't want to look too pathetic in front of Mary because it was the first time I met. But yeah, it was. We went and we watched it together.
We had a great time.
It was perfect storm of me getting down there just in time to watch
it.
But, as a film goes, it was again James Gunn talking about him. It was a lovely sign off to that trilogy. I don't particularly enjoy Chris Pratt anymore. I think he's been on too many things, and
that's fair.
He just plays himself. But you got to see another side of Will Poulter, which was fantastic. Karen Gillan, again, proving why she's gone from Doctor Who to being in films as an A-list movie star. Mm. It was just a really, really compelling story. And it was, you could almost watch it as a standalone without having to have anything else. And it was just a nice little sign-off.
I agree. Ready? It was the best Marvel movie I saw this year. Last year completely. And I had to choose between that or The Flash, and I didn't want to have two comic book movies in there, and I just went with The Flash simply for the nostalgia. But as a better movie, yeah, The Guardians of the Galaxy is a great one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I think it's arguably the best thing that Marvel have put out in this phase, pretty much since Endgame, with the exception maybe of the Spider-Man films. If I take those out, the equation, then, Guardians stands sort of head.
I reckon you're right.
Head and shoulders above everything else. So, do more of that, please.
Number one. Okay, so the number one movies of 2023 from Rich and Dunk. So Rich, that's me, I'm talking in third person, is going for one that isn't underrated and no one knows about. Everyone knows about this one. Talk to Me. Huge, huge success. Massive horror movie. Talk to Me came out of nowhere in a way where it was like, I think it's a New Zealand movie. I'm pretty sure it's New Zealand, not Australia. And it's about these kids who go to parties to talk to to be possessed, basically, and then like talk to the room whilst they're possessed. Okay. And it starts off and I'm like, I'm going to hate this because I'm so bored of movies set in high school. Like, I hate them. I'm just so bored of it. I'm an old man now. It doesn't interest me. I'm not the target audience for it. But this movie is so clever, the way it kind of has this edgy party, and it just completely catches you because it starts off in the very first like scene being very graphic and shocking. And it just kind of slowly continues doing it throughout the movie. But it never bores me. The whole movie interests me. It didn't bore me. I watched it for Halloween, and it was the perfect choice for Halloween. It was such a fresh take on like an exorcist possession type of movie. There's been so many of them, and they're all pretty much horseshit, especially the recent Exorcism reboot. But this was a completely different take on it, and it was really good. Really, really good. Cannot recommend it enough. And again, great, great cast, great lead actress.
Another banger from A24.
Yeah.
They just seem to come out of nowhere.
They do.
But as a production studio. But I mean, they just seem to have such a high quality. I'm looking at the cast. It's got the wonderful Miranda Otto in it. And I don't think I've seen her in anything other than Lord of the Rings. So it'd be quite nice to watch.
Recommend it, mate. Recommend it.
Apparently it's available on Netflix now in the UK. So, I shall probably watch that over the next couple of days.
Do it! And let me know what you think. What is your number one dunk? I'm excited. What's it going to be?
I'm being a basic bitch, really, for this. Okay. My number one film, and it's not because of how it made me feel, because it made me feel utterly disgusted with the state of humanity.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going.
It was Barbie. My number one film of 2023 was Oppenheimer.
Oh my gosh. Dunk, you are a basic bitch.
I am a basic bitch. It was just... Nolan just absolutely nails films. Like, his use of practical effects is just second to none. He took an incredibly gifted and talented cast. The joy of being such a wonderful film director is that you get to do things like this. And people are prepared to work with you. But it was just, it did feel long. I will say it did feel like 3 hours, and you did come out of it feeling like you'd been slapped around the face.
Yeah.
But it was a story that needed to be told. And it was a story that needed to be slightly more mainstream.
Do you think anyone will learn anything from that movie, though? Do you think they'll actually...
No, oh, God, no. Yeah. No. I think in the immediate aftermath, people have discussions about it. Sure. But will people learn? No. I mean, the various political things that have happened in 2023 is a sign that humanity is destined to... repeat his past mistakes, but it's again, it just had such a really strong, stellar cast of people. And because they were dealing with A-listers throughout the entire thing, and Josh Peck, yeah, it was just, I don't know. I came out of it feeling quite profound. Nice. But again, it was another film that I saw in the cinema. So I don't know. Maybe for me it was a year of cinema and actually going back and trying to get back into that routine of getting out and about post-COVID.
Nice. All right. Well, that is our top five movies of 2023. We are 20 and out.